Hey there, and welcome to Speaking of Sex, the podcast. I'm your host, Autumn Morris. Speaking of Sex, the podcast is based on sexuality education, exploring sex, love, and relationships in the hopes of happier, healthier, and juicier connections. Let's talk sex talk.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Speaking of Sex. Today I have three amazing guests with me. I have Lauren, my older sister.
Hello.
Bethany, my younger sister.
Hi.
And of course we have the best mom in the world back, Gwen.
Yay, hi.
So today I want to talk about a super important topic to me, which is vaginal health, because I've had quite a history of traumatic incidences with my vaginal health. So I just wanted to get a group of women together today to talk about vaginal horror stories. I was very inspired when Sean Walker, our first guest, was being very vulnerable with us and in expressing his issues with his penis that I didn't even know were issues that men had. And I had a lot of people reach out to me afterwards saying that they either learned a lot or they could relate. So I definitely wanted to do that for people with vaginas too, because I think together, at least me and my older sister and my mom, have a lot of experiences that we can share. Bethany, not so much because she has a perfect vagina, but whatever, we'll get to that. So first I want to start off by asking, like, what is the most traumatic thing that you've ever seen or experienced with your vagina? I know the most traumatic thing that I've ever experienced that I never knew was a thing was chronic wetness. Who knew that was a thing? So essentially it's like where your cervix is inverted and the mucus that your cervix creates is supposed to stay in between the cervix and the uterus, but mine was forming on the outside of the cervix to where it was dripping down the vaginal canal all the time and creating a lot of extra discharge all the time. Like, I don't know if you've ever looked at your cervical fluid, have you?
Oh yeah.
It's super thick, super mucusy, is that a word?
Yes.
And it looks like really thick snot. And it's so gross. And I had struggled with that for so long, but I didn't know it was abnormal to have. I knew discharge was normal. I thought this was just extra discharge, and it was a year or two that I went to the gynecologist, and he's like, this is not normal. So they actually had to burn the extra mucus off the outside of the cervix and shock the cervix into creating it on the right side again. So I'm currently healed with the chronic wetness and everything, but I still struggle with chronic BV and chronic yeast infections, which is garbage. So she may or may not have a broken pussy. So Lauren, most traumatic thing.
I think hands down for a mother, the most traumatic thing is pushing a giant head out of your vagina.
I don't understand.
Because I don't know how your body is made to stretch that thing.
Because you didn't have a vaginal birth your first time.
Not the first time.
So was it even more traumatic because you had given birth but not pushed a head out your vagina?
No, I was not expecting that.
Yeah. Did you look?
No.
Oh. Did they take a video?
I thought about it maybe like the next time asking to see.
Like,
but
watch
my
it?
Mom sure took a look. Did she could tell you what my vagina
did
looks
take
like.
A look?
I did.
What does it look like?
To see the head crowning?
Yeah.
You can like, see the super hair.
It always looks to me like when a baby comes out, it looks like it's covered in yeast. Like, I can't.
It's so gross.
It's because it's that
there's
white.
A lot of amniotic fluid and stuff that comes out with the baby.
Yeah.
That's why they wrap them in a towel and wipe them off real quick.
To me, it just looks like yeast discharge, you know? Because, like, yeast discharge is like a cottage cheese looking discharge, and that's what it looks like they're covered in.
It's gotta be, like, all that stuff, like, hitting the air. It, like, changes color or something. That's what I feel like it is, maybe.
So, like, what have you experienced? I'm assuming that you've experienced, like, yeast infections. Have you had BV before?
No.
Oh. Do you know what BV is?
Explain to us what BV is.
BV is bacterial vaginosis. It's It's basically a abnormality in the pH. So whenever you do something to your vagina that could alter its pH, whether it's you just came off your period, whether it's you started using a new product on it that messed up your pH, whether you changed sexual partners or you recently went from using protection to not using protection, because a partner's pH can mess up your pH, it can give you BV. So to treat BV, you just have to balance out that pH again. You can go to the doctor and they can assist you with that. I've had it so many times at this point that I just self-treat because I know what the symptoms look like and, you know, how my body reacts to certain treatments. So my favorite way to treat it is boric acid suppositories. You can literally get them on Amazon and they're game changers for me. Mom, have you had BV?
Never.
Never. So I'm like the only vagina in here that's really, truly broken.
And broken pussy.
Beth, have you had BV or yeast infections or?
Can't relate.
We hate you. But also vaginal steaming is supposed to be really good for like yeast infections and BV. I haven't vaginal steamed enough to be able to notice a difference, but I can definitely see how it would make sense because it's just cleaning out the system. It's just steaming, causing your body to just kind of cleanse itself more thoroughly than it normally would. And then there's also herbs in there that go into your system and create a clean environment. So I can see how that would be helpful. So, most traumatic experience. Like, what's like the craziest thing where like you looked at your vagina or you looked at your panties and you were like, what the fuck?
Mama, you pimpled.
Oh, yeah. You've had a genital pimple before?
Once when I was about 18, had a pimple in the upper area where you have your pubic hair. And it turned out just to be a pimple, but it got to be large enough to be a cyst. And so I went to my gynecologist, and back then they were all men. And he wanted me to go for a blood test to see if I had a STD. I didn't believe I had, so I didn't go, and it turned out just to be a pimple.
Yeah.
So, but back in the day, nobody really talked about anything. We didn't have the internet. We didn't share any information. It was embarrassing to go to your doctor. It was embarrassing to ask a friend or your family, you know, about these particular things that we're all being open about today.
Yeah.
So this platform and being able to express all of these things to each other and for everyone out there listening to be able to have this as a resource is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I think that's the really cool thing about having having gatherings like that, this where we can talk about these things. Because, I mean, even growing up, like I said, I grew up with chronic wetness, never knowing it was a thing.
Right.
Because you don't see people talking about chronic wetness. Mm-hmm. I'm the first person that I know that has suffered with chronic wetness.
Right.
You know, so just being open about these things, being transparent, and creating a safe space for the upcoming generations is super important. So, genital pimples. Have you had a genital pimple?
I don't really know the difference between that and what was the other thing?
Ingrown hairs?
Yeah. I think I've had ingrown hairs before.
Oh, those are the worst.
Because it can be very painful.
It's super painful, and it's like I was saying earlier to Mom how genital pimples. Ingrown hairs are the gift that keep on giving because it's like if you pop it but you don't get the hair out, it just refills.
God, Jesus.
It just refills, and it's just the worst experience ever, and you think you're dying and you think you have cancer. And that's the worst thing about like anything with your genitals. Like if you have any sort of, you know, abnormality and you Google it, the first thing you see is that you either have cancer or AIDS, you know, and that's super scary and problematic, and you, 9 times out of 10 not the case, because AIDS doesn't even have symptoms, does it? I think
not
AIDS
sure.
Is asymptomatic until it starts affecting your immune system. But I don't think it has any physical tells as far as your genitals. So
no, I don't think so.
That's, like, super scary. So I can't even imagine. I've had genital pimples as well, though. It's just the same thing. It just doesn't have a hair in the middle. But I always get them in, like, the weirdest places. Like, I've had a genital pimple in between my butt cheeks before. Because I'm a sweaty gal. I'm sweaty. I got a lot of meat downtown. And it just, it's an oven. And it cooks. It cooks. And... And when the sweat gathers together and I can't get a good wipe in there soon enough, we go. And you go to wash your ass in the shower and you think you have cancer in your ass crack. What the fuck? This was literally 3 weeks ago, by the way.
Oh my god.
I was like, I'm dying. And so I got your mirror.
She used her mirror to look at her ass.
Assy hands have been touching your mirror.
I got a mirror. And I was like, and then I looked at it and I realized it had a white head on it. And I'm like, oh. Thank God, it's just a pimple. It's okay. We can deal with this. So like, but the thing with general pimples is like, no one knows how to fucking treat them. You know, like, there's no product at Walmart that says
for ass pimples.
Clear up your vat knee. Clear up your vat knee instead of bat knee.
Vat knee. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So I just, I use like supernatural products on my face for my face pimples. So I was able to just use that. But there's like no how-to guide on how to heal. Because you figure like you have to be super careful with the products, especially me, who has a problematic pussy. You have to be careful with the type of products that you use down there, because you don't want to cause any more infections than the ones that I already have, you know? So I ended up just using, like, aloe and tea tree, and it was really great, and it made my pussy smell amazing, by the way. Have you ever had a pussy that smelled like tea tree oil? Oh, let's talk about stench. Pussy stench. How do you feel about the way your pussy smells?
Well, I'm not really up close and personal with it.
You don't smell your panties?
No.
I do. Is that weird?
A little bit.
Well, with someone who struggles with hella infections, you know what the infections smell like and you gotta be ahead of it. Do you smell your panties?
I don't have to get close and personal to smell because I sweat a lot. And sometimes I smell.
We love a juicy vag.
Just like my feet.
We love a juicy vag. Oh, she's gross. Got extra meat in the oven, too. I feel you, sister.
My hands are sweaty.
Ew, they're so sweaty. It's like a waterfall, Mom.
Well, being an older gal.
Gal.
And having had 3 children, mm-hmm. all in this room. If I happen to sneeze, or cough, or just randomly stand up and walk down the hall, there's a possibility that a little bit of urine may leak out.
So your pussy's super acidic?
No.
Pissy pussy.
I'm trying to say I wear a pad all the time.
Uh-huh. Do you smell your pad?
To be safe. I do not smell my pad.
That's
gross. So gross.
However,
who would do that?
That's so gross.
Do you smell it? I change it frequently.
Because you pee a lot.
And I use those feminine wipes. That you
know, are they pH balanced?
I don't know. I buy them at Walmart in the blue and white package.
So no, they are not pH balanced.
They're not feminine wipes. They're toilet.
They're
wipes.
Ass wipes.
I keep myself clean, so I don't smell it.
You never smell your pussy.
No, I can't contort myself that way. So
no, you just have to be able to bend down to your panties, Charles. When you're on the when you're on the toilet. You just kind of nosedive a little.
I can't do that.
And smell your panties. Or you can bring them up to your face.
Okay.
I just, you know, I sniff it This sounds so gross. But I do. I sniff it. I'm like, are we fishy today?
Oh, God.
Are we, I don't know, oniony? Where are we at? Are we, you know, sometimes I sniff it and there's nothing.
Did you eat garlic yesterday?
Right. What did I eat? How is it showing up? Did I hydrate enough? You know, you can smell all of that. It's crazy how much you can tell about your body based on your vaginal discharge, what it looks like, how much is coming out, and what it smells like. And I have had the luxury of figuring that out the hard way. So I do sniff it. I do pay attention to what the color is, and I do track it. And you actually have thicker cervical mucus come out when you're most fertile. So with someone who's, I'm sure you know that, as someone who's seeking to have more kids, you can track your discharge to track your fertility, which is super interesting. Another thing I found out, not because I'm trying to have kids, but just because I'd be sniffing my panties.
A lot of Catholics do, what is it called? Family planning.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they track when they're most fertile.
Oh, their discharge.
So, like, if they don't want to have a baby, they don't have sex whenever their discharge is, like, really thick or whatever.
Oh,
they
really?
And they have sex during that time.
So that's how they family plan. Oh, because they don't use birth control.
No. Their birth control.
Do they, like, track with... Because I know you can track your fertility through your temperature, too, because your temperature goes up. Do they do that?
Yes. I actually talked with a friend of mine who's a devout Catholic, and she says, you take your temperature first thing in the morning, you don't move. You just move enough to get the thermometer, and you take your temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, like, when it's higher than what it normally is every day,
mm-hmm.
then that's when you're most fertile. I think that's what she said.
That's super interesting. Yeah. That's dope. How have you tracked your fertility?
Generally, if I'm ovulating, I will get hungry.
Mm.
And for like 2 or 3 days, I can't seem to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may be a little more interested in having sex during that time period.
Mm.
And that's the only way I figured it out.
So you've never tracked like your mucus or anything like that?
No.
Beth, have you, like, noticed a difference in your mucus, or you don't pay attention to your discharge at all?
Nope.
Interesting. You know, okay. Do you notice, Alton, this is focused at all three of you, do you notice, like, discharge every day, or is discharge, like, not a daily thing for y'all?
No, for me, not so much anymore.
Because you're post-menopausal.
Right.
Well, what about when you were... Like, before you hit menopause?
Then there was a lot.
Like, every day?
Yeah.
What about you, Lauren?
I would say it's pretty much every day.
Okay. So, I was thinking that, like, me having discharge daily was, like, a me problem. But I also noticed in that episode with Sean, he had a comment where he said he noticed crusty panties around the house. And I'm like, oh, so other girls be having crusty panties, too? Because my shits be rock hard.
Oh, God.
I mean, after that discharge dries, it's like putting starch in clothes. It's just
stiff, rock hard.
No, that's an exaggeration, but truly, they be a little crusty on some days.
Can we get back to yeast infections?
Sure, go for it.
Oh, the first time I ever had a yeast infection, I didn't really know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know how I contracted it, didn't know who to ask about it, because it's embarrassing, and mm-hmm. it was way back in the day, you just didn't talk about those things, so I think I, also back then you had to go to the doctor to get a prescription, because mm-hmm. Your cure wasn't over the counter anymore, you couldn't just roll up in Walmart
and
get Monistat. You had to get a prescription for it, and then I felt like you went to your male doctor to tell him that your pussy was itching, and then they tested you.
Yeah.
And you were in the doctor's office a couple of hours, and then they gave you a prescription that you then had to take to the pharmacist, who mm-hmm. then knew also that, you know, you had an itchy pussy.
Right.
And that you'd been to the doctor.
Right.
And then you get the stuff and you go home and you've got to medicate.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so that was all embarrassing. But another thing is, I didn't know the difference between a UTI and
a yeast infection.
A yeast infection. Thank you for my helper over there. A yeast infection. So when the first time I got a UTI, I didn't really understand that it was something different. I just, by that time, the Monistat was over the counter, but they had it back in the pharmacy area where you still had to ask someone for it, and it was truly embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, ended up having to go to the doctor because it wasn't getting any better, and found out that, yeah, that's a thing. So, and now I know the preventive measures that you can take, you know, to keep that from happening. So, hydrate, everybody. Hydrate.
For those listening at home, if you don't know what a yeast infection is, it's also an imbalance in the pH, and it usually happens whenever you're wearing super tight clothing and your pussy, for lack of better words, your vagina is just an oven. It's a hot, wet oven, and it's a fungal infection that grows because you may be sweating a lot, you may be extra moist, and you've got a lot of heat because you've got super tight clothing, and it just creates the perfect environment for this fungus. So it's just extra yeast in your vagina. You always have yeast in there, it's just an overgrowth of that yeast. But for yeast infections, definitely, and then using like bad products in or on your vagina and vulva can definitely also contribute to yeast infections. Because I remember, like, I didn't realize yeast infections could be caused by, like, wearing Spanx or, like, tight underwear or whatever until I was in basic training. And this girl was like, because we wear spandex under our PT shorts, and I would just sleep in my PT uniform so when I woke up, I could just go. And my battle buddy was like, don't sleep in those because you'll get a yeasty. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Lo and behold, she sure did get a yeasty. So, yeah, that was new to me. And then also UTI is a urinary tract infection, which you mentioned. So that would just be hydrating, making sure you're taking cranberry supplement or drinking cranberry juice. I think those are the only preventative measures for that.
Yeah.
And then all around health and wellness of the vagina, you should be taking a probiotic, which will help with preventing all of these issues that we've discussed today.
And being careful how you wipe.
Oh, yes. Wiping from front to back. I've actually never made that mistake. But I think that's because you kind of instilled that from jump. But I've never... Have you ever wiped... Did you wipe back to front when you were younger?
Probably.
Oh, I didn't make that mistake.
Well, I mean, before Mom told us when we were, like, tiny children.
I never had that issue. I never got shit in my pussy.
Ew.
That never happened for me. Can't relate. So, as far as, like, keeping up with your vaginal health now, what do you do? What's your regime? How do you prevent having another horrible story in the future?
I got nothing.
You don't do anything?
Nope. I drink 2 liters of water a day, and I take a cranberry gummy every couple days. Do that.
I concur about hydrating. Make sure you drink plenty of water, and that will wash out that bacteria.
You'll piss a lot.
Yes.
But that's okay.
You want your urine to be a light color, not a dark color.
Mm-hmm. But if your pee is clear, that means you're just peeing water and you can lessen the amount. It's supposed to be light yellow, really, really light yellow. But if you can't see any yellow, then cut back.
And how much water you drink actually changes the consistency and the taste of your vaginal discharge. It does. For those who are participating in oral sex, if you drink water, then your juices taste like water. Or if you drink a lot of water. If you eat a lot of fish, your juices taste like fish. They do. You literally are what you eat when it comes to that. It shows through in what your vaginal juices taste like.
If you take cranberry supplements, like, you hear all the time that when people eat pineapple, it makes your pussy taste better. Mm-hmm. Cranberry
supplements actually do that, I believe. Mm-hmm. I've heard.
Fruit in general, it just makes you taste sweeter.
But if you don't, if you're, like, not living healthy right now, you can just take a cranberry supplement or a gummy.
Yeah.
The gummies are bitter, but, I mean, it's not swallowing a pill.
Touché. So, your regime, Mom.
Oh, just keep clean.
Run a clean shop.
Keep clean.
Cotton underwear.
Yes. Cotton breathable, underwear. Breathable underwear. Don't have super tight underwear. Jeans. Oh my gosh. If you wear jeans and they're freaking irritating, you need to change up your regime. Because I've had that issue for a long time where jeans, especially like with skinny jeans or tight jeans, they can, number one, contribute to infections because it's so thick, mm-hmm. and harnesses so much heat. But also I found that if I put on jeans and they're super uncomfortable and are causing irritation to my vulva, then there's a deeper issue going on. So that's been a key thing for me.
I just get underwear in a size up. Ooh. Like, I'm a 5, but mm-hmm. I get them in a 6. Because, you can get underwear that's your size if you're, like, planning to, like, show it off in front of your partner or something like that. But yeah. If you're just, like, gonna have a day, mm-hmm. I get a size up because it makes it easier.
That's smart. I just like to get looser fitting, breathable cotton underwear. I have tried using, you know, a few different other fabrics, but if it's not cotton, it just causes so much irritation because it creates that oven effect where it just keeps the heat in and then you sweat more and then it causes irritation and then it causes a pH imbalance or, you know, creates the perfect environment, the perfect storm for mm-hmm. a yeast infection. I just don't have time for that. So when it comes to like my regime, because I have such a problematic pussy and because, you know, I've had all the issues and I have chronic BV and chronic yeast infections, I like to use boric acid suppositories. They're great for treating, but you can also use them to prevent. You can go in little 5-day cycles where you just use them twice a day for 5 days, once a month, I believe, and it helps keep your shop clean. Also, I use a salve. It's just got a bunch of essential oils in it. There are some essential oils that are super good for you. So if you're into holistic healing, tea tree oil and lavender, use diluted, and also apple cider vinegar are good things to use if you have a problematic pussy like me.
You can't forget, though, that the vaginal system is a self-cleaning
organ. It is.
It, sometimes, I guess you just gotta try it out, but if you don't have problems, you don't need to start using all these products.
Right.
Could throw it off or just freak it out. You could, water is just fine.
Yeah. For
cleaning.
Right. And unless you have a problematic pussy like me, I suggest just water. Like, don't use soap on your pussy. Ever.
Or you could buy, like, pH balanced, cleansing stuff that isn't really soap, but don't use it. You don't have to use it every day if you don't have problems. You could just use it once, twice a week, if you're feeling it. You don't have to go crazy with it.
Yeah, the cleanser I use is, like, soap-free and fragrance-free and pH balanced. The soap I use actually has the pH listed on it, which makes me feel super confident about it. The vagina is supposed to be between 3.8, a pH of 3.8 and 4.5, I believe, and the cleanser I use is 4.2, so it makes me feel super comfortable knowing the exact pH of what I'm using on myself. And like I said, the products I use are just because I have hella problems, and if I'm ever at a time where I'm not having a lot of problems, I don't bother with using them. So make sure that you know, number one, consult with your doctor, and number two, only use products if you're having issues. If you have a perfect pussy like Bethany, then drink water and wash with water and you'll have a great life. Any final thoughts, any funny stories that have come to mind about vaginas, any advice you would give to any listeners who may or may not be struggling with vaginal issues or just wanted to hear us talk about ass pimples?
Well, I hope that everybody listened, learned something from this, and I don't know, I guess understand that they're not the only ones.
Yeah, we definitely
that have problems. Everybody has problems with their vaginas.
Pussy probs.
Yep. Hashtag. Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of things going wrong, because chances are that your pussy isn't going to kill you. So don't get like too scared. There's solutions.
Again, hydrate, keep it clean. Drink cranberry juice or use a cranberry gummy, because that cranberry will absorb bacteria in mm-hmm. your bladder. Mm-hmm. And keep it dry, keep it roomy. Mm-hmm.
Go
commando if you need to.
Go commando if you want to.
If I'm having a lot of issues,
I sure do that.
I don't sleep with
it. Good for that area.
Yeah, just don't sleep with underwear on.
If all else fails, there's always vacne cream at Walmart.
I'm gonna invent it.
You're such a magician.
Oh, Jesus.
This is getting so bad. So thank you again to my three incredible guests, Lauren, Beth, and Gwen. That feels so weird to call you Gwen. Lauren, Beth, and Mom. And thank you for joining us today for this conversation of vaginal horror stories, essentially. If you liked it, make sure that you comment, like, favorite, share, all of that good stuff. And we'd like to hear your horror stories. So if you're open to sharing, we're definitely open to hearing. It definitely feels super comforting knowing that I'm not alone, that we're not alone. And I hope that you feel comforted that you're not alone. Because as Bethany said, and I quote, it's very unlikely that your vagina will kill you. But it does feel that way sometimes. So I hope that you're comforted by today's conversation, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye!